Thank you. Look, good morning, everybody. This is one of we're going to run a series of these press conferences as regularly as we can to keep you informed. We're also starting a process of regular updates, sharing with you all the information that we're getting and the process that we're undertaking. Update 3 went out this morning, and we advised you that a teacher, in addition to the numbers that we've already talked about, the other students and teacher, was admitted to North Shore Hospital yesterday. We've just been advised that she will be sent home this afternoon, having been treated with Tamiflu, and so she'll be home this afternoon. So, essentially, I've got the team here, and they're ready and willing to answer any of your questions.
Can you first of all talk about the Air New Zealand plane and Bertha's contact of the other passengers and when that was done?
We've got a team who are contacting people at the moment. They have got their passenger cards, and I'll start the process of calling them individually. The media, of course, have also alerted them to the various media reports, and we're grateful for that. This, if you like, is a belt and braces approach. We'll contact these people. Firstly, see if they're feeling unwell, and we'll offer them Tamiflu if that's the case. We'll offer them Tamiflu as a prophylaxis.
Do you not think that should have been done yesterday or as soon as you knew that the students posed a risk?
The process started yesterday, but it's as I said, built in braces.
I think it's entirely possible, though, now that these people are back in the community, that we have a reasonably serious risk of uncontrolled spread?
It's unlikely.
Why?
Because the group itself may have had no contact at all with the students. Only a very small part of the plane would have been in contact with those students. And the student group themselves, there's only 10 people out of the 22 who are unwell.
If I could just add something to that. I mean, one of the important things to bear in mind is that until late yesterday afternoon, we didn't even know for sure these people had influenza. What they had was mild sort of upper respiratory infection, so it could have just as easily been a cold. And many of you would know from experience how common it is to get symptoms of a cold after having spent a long time on a plane. And so it was really only late yesterday that we knew it was any form of influenza. And so that then made it much more significant in terms of needing to follow up other people on the plane, get information out more broadly. Even though even now we actually don't still know that it's actually the swine flu strain. It could turn out to be one of the many other forms of influenza A. So it's been something where we've been reacting to information as it becomes increasingly available. And I'm sure that the situation will continue to develop, and we'll continue to get more and more information as time goes on.
What's the infection risk for the rest of the people on the plane? It's a closed control environment, air conditioning. What's the possibility of the influenza spreading throughout the entire plane?
It's unlikely it would spread through the whole plane. I mean, in general, the risk will be more for people that are sitting nearby. But influenza can be spread both through being next to someone when they're coughing and sneezing, but also if they, say, cough and sneeze onto a surface and then you touch that surface, don't wash your hands and then put your hands in your mouth. So, you know, in theory, it's possible for it to spread through you know, going to the airplane toilets and things like that. But, I mean, the less direct contact someone's had with somebody with influenza on a plane, the lower risk they have. How infectious? It's still early days in terms of what we know, but there's no indication that it's any more infectious than any other strain of influenza.
Give an update on the stocks of Tamiflu. I remember several years ago when we were talking about bird flu, it was mentioned at the time that Tamiflu has a limited shelf life. Of the Tamiflu stocks that we have at the moment, how much of it is good and how much is it close to its expiry date?
It's all currently usable. Some will expire later this year, a small amount, but the bulk of it is usable for some years to come.
How many doses of Tamiflu have been released from the Dunmore Hospital to treat students and families?
Well, enough to treat the students and their families, and eventually anybody else that's been in contact with them.
Can you give us any idea how many? I know the United States is saying that it's released a quarter of its total stocks.
Well, we've got stocks of 1.2 million courses, so they're nothing like that. I imagine there's a few dozen doses released at this stage.
In Mexico, where these students were there, I'm sure that there was quite a lot of press about how sick people were getting over there. No concerns that they weren't a bit more vigilant when they came down with them?
The situation in Mexico is a bit different to the situation in New Zealand and certainly the situation in the US. It's a lot more certain what we're dealing with, I think, in the US and potentially in New Zealand, because we've been doing testing of people that potentially might have the infection, whereas in Mexico they've done a very small number of tests. But potentially they've got many people that may have been infected. So, we still don't know for sure whether the deaths that have been seen in Mexico are definitely relating to this particular infection or not. I mean, the last figures that I saw from Mexico was, I think they'd done a total of 19 confirmed tests. And so it's still really quite uncertain what the situation is, what the virus is likely to result in. But certainly, I mean, so far anyway, it's reassuring that, say, in the US it seems to be a mild flu-like illness. And if it turns out to be that virus in New Zealand, that's been the experience so far here too.
But the school coming back from overseas where there had been a very serious outbreak, students coming down sick, maybe they should have the warning bell should have gone off at the school a little bit earlier?
Well, I guess all that we can do as a country is respond to information that is available to us from internationally. This is something that became aware to us end of last week. I mean, obviously, it seems like in Mexico they've been dealing with a developing outbreak over the last few weeks to a month. But I think it's taken a while for it to be identified really what they were dealing with there. And even now, as I say, the great, great majority of potential cases in Mexico still haven't been confirmed as being linked to this particular swine flu. My suspicion is that they probably largely will be, if only because, as I understand it, they're heading towards the end of their influenza season. So it would be unusual for them to be getting an outbreak of a normal seasonal influenza at this time of the year.
I think the key message there is that we're in very regular contact with the World Health Organization, getting regular updates and watching the developments in other countries very closely as well.
Can you update us on Northcote College?
Do you want to visit? So
there were Northcote's back. There are three students who have symptoms of something, and we've swabbed them. We're testing them. We'll have the results this afternoon.
When did they get back?
Yesterday.
Saturday.
Saturday.
Do we know how many of them in the party?
I think it was a smaller group. I think it was 14 from memory.
Did they come back on a separate flight?
Yes.
NZ5.
The two remaining colleges, have they been ruled out? The Wednesday's Lake and
101? Those colleges, no. We'll be contacting them and checking them in the same way.
Do you know where they are? Are they back in the country yet?
Offhand, I don't know where they are, but we will know in Auckland where they are.
But if I can just add to that, the information we have to hand at the moment is that it's really only those two colleges, Rangitoto and Northcote, that we know for sure have been in Mexico.
Yeah. There's some suggestion the other parties may have been in Texas and elsewhere in the Americas.
I think the key issue there is that we have health personnel at the airport who are screening people from incoming flights as they arrive there.
And how screening we're going this morning? Have you had feedback on that process at the airport?
Yeah, we had the first flight came at 3 o'clock, which we met. And so far, only a small number of people have spoken to the doctors and nurses who are out there. But that process will continue.
Is the screening going on in Christchurch as well, or just from what?
No, there are no North American flights arriving in Christchurch.
Today, or just full screen?
Just ever.
What are you going to tell the Cabinet, Mr. Ryan?
Well, I'm going to brief the Cabinet on the progress that's been made to date about what actions we might have to have in case this matter escalates, but certainly to report the information that the kids from Northcote have not had a serious illness, that they're on the road to recovery, and that the public health authorities are moving to make sure that New Zealanders and those who've travelled on those planes are aware of the key message from this, which is if you've travelled from North America or Mexico to New Zealand in the last fortnight and you develop flu-like symptoms, please be in touch with your general practice or with the public health authorities. New Zealanders with any inquiries can contact Healthline, and they will be able to provide them with further advice and information.
What further measures might you need to put in place?
Well, further measures will depend on particularly on the outcome of the tests which are going to Melbourne today. They'll also be dependent on what happens within the community of whether there is a spread of this flu. Additional measures may be involving greater surveillance and messages at airports. There's an escalation involved, which I might get Mr. Brazier to explain.
There's a process which we have plans for if we need to escalate, and it's around the classic ring fencing approach to an epidemic, if you like. At this stage, we have no reason to think that we need to take those steps. But it's part of a plan which is widely published, and we can get you copies if you like. Yeah.
So the important message here is that these kids are on the road to recovery. It seems to be a mild influenza. That's certainly the pattern that you're seeing in the United States. But authorities are being vigilant, working with those families, and making sure, with your assistance, messages are getting out to the community on this.
What's the latest estimate of when the confirmation or not will come through from Melbourne?
It's a matter of days, so it'll be later on this week. The sample is gone today, they'll be starting the test today, but it'll take some days for the test to be completed.
So realistically, you won't know definitively until later this week.
That's right.
Exactly what it is you're dealing with.
That's right. So we're going to continue dealing with it as if it's swine flu until we hear that it's not.
Yep. The advice from officials is that we should consider it probable that it's swine flu, and that's how we are proceeding.
Why don't we have the capacity to run these tests here?
I mean, obviously, there's particular WHO laboratories that are established in a number of centres, and so they're really the specialised testing centres, and for our region, the really specialised centre is in Melbourne. And so the judgment was made that it's best, given that it's early days of potentially a larger outbreak around the world, it's important to really get it across to one of those WHO centres very quickly and do the testing, and they're all ready to do that.
We have 10 confirmed flu cases among the Rangitoto College students. What about among 15 North Coast students? Have any of them been confirmed as having influenza A?
Not yet.
They don't test on them?
Yes.
When are they happening?
Well, tests have been done, so we'd be hoping there'd be results back later on today to tell us whether they're influenza A or not. And then if they are influenza A, then similarly we'll need to send the samples off to the Melbourne laboratory for further testing.
Are you testing all of those students?
No, all the people with symptoms. So there's three that we know of so far.
And so will you also contact all the passengers on
NZ5? Yes, we will.
If it turns out that any of the Northcote students or teachers come back with an influenza A positive result, then we'll follow the same process that we've followed for the NZ1.
Should we do that anyway, just to be on the safe side?
Well, I guess I mean, we've already put information out, and obviously the media's played an important role to play on that, for the community in general about if they've recently been in Mexico or the US and they develop flu-like symptoms, what they should do. So again, it's a belts and braces thing, so it's really sort of doubling up on that information that's already out there that I think there's already a very good level of community awareness on. And actually, if I could follow up on that community awareness issue just with a general point, obviously at the moment we're heading into the normal seasonal influenza time. And so there's going to be many people, I suspect, in the community getting symptoms of a viral infection, so getting runny noses, getting coughs, getting headaches, those sort of symptoms. And so I think people need to be reassured that what we're really talking about today is about a particular group of people that have been recently in Mexico or the US. But for a great majority of people in New Zealand that might be developing symptoms like this, they've just got the flu or they've got a cold. And so they just need to deal with it like they would normally deal with the flu or the cold. And so, you know, stay home, be sensible, get your family to wash your hands a lot, cover up your coughs and sneezes, those sorts of things. And if they get a bit sicker, then go to see their GP like they normally would with a cough and a cold. But all of this additional information we're talking about is specifically about people that have been in Mexico or the US in the last couple of weeks and then they develop those symptoms.
And these two groups of students, one presumes they've had very limited contact in the community since they returned to the vaccine.
Well, certainly they were picked up very quickly and asked to stay at home, and their families stay at home, pretty much straight away. There would have been a little bit of contact, but not a lot. And obviously, the whole purpose of the quick follow up was to try and get them to stay at home, so they were dealing with the minimum number of people.
And are the Northcote students also confined to home?
I'm sorry.
Are the Northcote students also confined?
They've also been asked to stay at home. Yes.
Only those three.
No, the whole group.
Yep. Is there likely to be any protection from the current flu vaccine that's being used for our seasonal flu?
We don't know for sure. The advice is that if there is, it's probably likely to be quite small, but we just don't know for sure.
Thank you.
Just going back to your earlier point, you mentioned coming into the flu season, what concerns do you have given the amount of publicity about this? That A&E departments and GPs are going to be overrun by people who are concerned about these symptoms?
Yeah, I mean, influenza seasons are always a busy time of the year for GPs and for accident and emergency departments. And so I'd expect that will be the case this year, even independent of this particular situation. But it really just emphasises the importance of what I mentioned earlier, that people need to keep this in some perspective. And so for someone in the community, if you haven't recently been in the US or Mexico, so in the last couple of weeks, and you develop runny nose or a cough or a sore throat, any of those viral type symptoms, deal with it like you would normally deal with it. You know, stay home, do the sensible things, have some Panadol for the temperature, those sort of things. And if you get a bit sicker, then talk to your GP like you normally would. There's nothing else that the general community needs to be doing.
How quickly do the symptoms show? I mean, people that were on those flights with the school children, if they develop symptoms in 3 weeks' time, can they sort of get down to...
Yeah. Again, it's early days to be really sure, but usually for influenza, you're talking about 2 to 4 days, something like that, after you've been infected. I think it would be unlikely to be much different to that, but we can't say for certain at this stage.
Did the WHO ask New Zealand Health Authorities, say, last week to implement early stages of our pandemic response plan, or is that something we just arrived at by ourselves?
No, we did that ourselves, and in fact it was only over the weekend that WHO globally, the Director General of WHO held a meeting, as she's required to do under the international health regulations, where they've formally now identified this as what they call a public health emergency of international concern. But we were already underway in doing what we had planned to do and what we think to be appropriate in advance of that. And we, in fact, always plan to be able to act in advance of formal advice from WHO.
When do you expect to have made contact with the other passengers that you want to be in contact with, to speak to on NZ1? When will you have done that?
That's a lengthy process which we're underway with, but there's, I guess, 300-odd people who would have scattered around the country in some cases. But we will trace them all eventually.
The primary channel of communication with those passengers of NZ1 and NZ5 has been the saturation media coverage of this issue. And that's the reason why we had the press conference at 8 o'clock yesterday, was in order to get that message out to passengers that if they have developed flu-like symptoms, they should contact their GP. And the follow-up is important, a part of just making sure those messages have got through.
I suppose it's just hard to know why Air New Zealand couldn't have just sent an email out as well. They would have had passenger lists and contact details.
They might have not have email addresses, but they have arrival cards, which is what we're working on.
How many passenger arrival cards do you have all the information you need, though? That's the next question.
They'll give us the addresses, which we'll use as a primary contact point.
If I could just add to that, the challenge really with following up people off the plane will be people who don't live in New Zealand. And so they don't have a fixed address here, and so they presumably will have listed, say, the first hotel they might have been staying in, or the address of a friend, or something like that. So they'll be the potentially the harder ones to track down. People who are living in New Zealand who've given us their home addresses, they'll be easy to follow up.
Is there any special monitoring of the cleaners of the plane?
not that I'm aware
not
of.
At the stage. We're talking to Air New Zealand about that, and they may wish to talk to their cleaners.
Is the plane still here, or has it gone back out?
I don't know.
Because is there a risk that you were saying before that some surfaces, if you come into contact with a surface, you could pick up the flu that way. If the plane has gone back out, is there not a risk that it's carrying the disease with it?
If I can add to that, I mean, standard cleaning would be fine for this. I mean, there's nothing special about this particular virus. If it turns out to be a swine flu virus compared to other respiratory viruses that are an issue on planes. And so there's no need for any additional special cleaning. But I guess the other thing that it does emphasise is that cleaning is one part of it, but obviously people can take responsibility for their own health too. And old-fashioned things like washing your hands a lot, whether you're on a plane or you're in the community, is a sensible thing to do. So washing your hands before you eat, washing your hands before you smoke a cigarette, those sorts of things can actually significantly reduce your risk of exposure to the virus.
Does this incident really illustrate a possible weakness in our pandemic response planning, when you can get people returning to New Zealand with possible symptoms or suspected symptoms, but it's not noticed by airline staff, therefore you don't get told directly with the travel details forwarded to you, and suddenly these people are spread around the country or possibly around the world, and we're left trying to follow them up.
It's not a weakness of our planning, but it's a limitation for everybody's planning. I mean, obviously we're dependent on good information coming in from other countries and information coming in early. But I guess the thing with our planning is that it's very specific about the different sorts of things that can be done at different points. And so, of course, if we get lots of notice and we don't get any cases and when it's clear what's happening overseas, then we can do a whole series of different steps to try and reduce the risk of a virus coming in. If we don't get that information and we start getting potential cases, then there's other things that we do. So we've always been acutely conscious in our planning that we can't assume that we'll get perfect information, because the world's just not like that.
I think, Karen, that a key point there is it wasn't until late yesterday afternoon that we had some confirmation of this being influenza, but that there had already been a lot of action that was underway in the course of Saturday evening and yesterday. And I think you'll see in the course of the next few days a number of countries identifying this, and New Zealand was one of the first to actually identify these cases. So I think you'll find that our surveillance and planning is really first rate in this respect.
We were actually activated within about 2 or 3 hours of when the students themselves presented to their GPs.
We have very good linkages through district health boards and with primary care to be able to monitor what happens across the sector.
Can you tell us a little bit about the NZ5? Can you just confirm that arrived on Saturday, and how many passengers were on board, and are you at this stage asking people to come forward, this is the Northcote plane, if they have symptoms?
There'll be the same messengers about NZ5 as for NZ1, that people who feel unwell should talk to their GPs.
When did that plane land on?
I don't know the time, it arrived sometime on Saturday.
In fact, the message for NZ5 is the same message as for anybody who's recently returned from Mexico or the US. Mm. And that is that, firstly, be aware that there is this virus, particularly in Mexico, and that if you develop flu-like illness in the first couple of weeks after you've been back, then let your GP know and then go and see them. And so that's the fundamental message. At this stage, there's nothing about NZ5 that makes it any different to any other group of people coming back from the US and Mexico, because we don't have confirmed cases of influenza A on that flight. But clearly anybody who's been in the last week or two in Mexico or the US, if they develop flu-like illness, we want them to be talking to their GP and being seen by their GP, and the GP will then talk to the local public health unit about what sort of follow-up needs to happen.
I just said last night that they thought it was likely that it was swine flu. What is the reasoning to come to that, the likelihood? Was there something in the test results yesterday that was specific to give you that confidence?
Look, I think there's two aspects to it that make us say that it's likely. And I guess that's sort of more likely than not. Firstly, the fact that it's influenza A, so that's obviously the family of influenza viruses that the swine flu virus is in, but there are many other types of influenza A that we get every year in New Zealand. The second thing, though, is the link to Mexico and the fact that Mexico is coming out of their normal influenza season. And so if this was in the middle of the Northern Hemisphere winter and now coming back with influenza A, I think we'd be less likely to say that this is probably swine flu, because there's so many other things it could well be. But the fact that it's an unusual time for people to be getting influenza in Mexico makes it more likely it's a new sort of influenza, which means it's more likely to be swine flu.
Is there a window in which the virus can be easily and successfully treated, and then after that window it becomes a very, very serious health issue for the person concerned?
For the great majority of people who get influenza, it's an uncomplicated infection that makes them feel pretty sick for a week or so and they get better. Some people, though, go on to get complications of influenza, and the main one that we worry about is pneumonia. And that generally happens as a result of getting a second infection on top of the influenza. And that's usually after some days of being sick with the influenza itself. I guess the other part potentially of your question is around things like Tamiflu and when Tamiflu might be useful. Now, we don't know for sure around swine flu, but the general principle is that Tamiflu, if given early, is useful, but once you've gone beyond a couple of days of illness, then it's less likely to have much of an effect.
Right, so the people you're asking to make contact or who develop symptoms, they really have 48 hours to get in touch? Is the prime time for treating the virus?
Well, in terms of Tamiflu and it being, you know, potentially useful, but even beyond that, it's still important for us in the health system to know about these other people, because we'd obviously be wanting them to stay home, for instance. We'd be able to give information and advice to their families, and potentially their families could be given Tamiflu even before they get symptoms. So it's still, even beyond the 2 days, it's very important for us to know about it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll keep you informed with these regular updates that we're going to be putting out. Okay.